What's going on, everybody, and welcome to episode 49 of the Foundation First Fitness Show with Bobak Owen. Today, we're continuing on that subject and the topic that we were discussing last time, which is tech, fitness tech tools. So basically any type of tool that you would use in fitness that would help you either track or perform better in your sport. Now, last week we discussed a couple of different tools that were basically going to be wearable, useful to kind of help you track. Today, we're going to be going into the more of, you know, kind of use to almost guide and help you with your workouts and actually use on a practical daily basis to help kind of recover or perform during your workout. So if you didn't check out last episode, I'm going to link it right above right there so you guys can head there and check that out right now. Now, the first thing I want to discuss today is going to be a vibrating foam roller. So it's basically a foam roller that has a battery inside you could flick on and it'll start vibrating and use it basically like a roller. Now, I believe there is some research based on what I saw. I was kind of like mixed reviews on whether it was very useful or not. I've used these types of rollers before, and honestly, I think they are very useful. The feeling I got after I rolled with them was significantly better than just basically a plain old roller. I felt a little bit better. The vibration effect seemed to have helped out a little bit more with the, like, especially with my quad, which was a little bit more of a problem for me. So using those vibrating rollers are very effective. Now, I will remind you that these rollers come with a very, very steep price tag. I know they're going well into the $200 range. Although they are valuable, that $200 price tag does pose a little bit of a problem, especially when you can get one for about 10 times less that doesn't vibrate and will do a fairly significantly close job. So yes, I would use it. Yes, if you can afford to get it. The benefits are probably not there, but if you're a very competitive athlete and you're looking for anything, I would probably recommend getting it because I think it is still very useful. A lot of people like using them. And there are basically like a ball. You can get a basic, like a hard ball, almost like it's a little bit bigger than a softball, but it does vibrate as well. There's some companies that do offer that as well and still very good devices and basically will replace a roller fairly well. Very sturdy, battery recharges pretty well. So, you know, definitely worth looking into. The second thing I'm going to discuss ties in pretty well with the first one, which is basically a percussion gun. So basically what it looks like is you've taken a jigsaw, you've taken off the saw blade and you add in another piece, so another head. So the interchange, you can interchange that head to be either circular, it could be very point, so a little bit more of a trigger point, or you can get a flat kind of beam with a little bit more surface area. So essentially, the main goal with that is to replicate that kind of, you know, the slicing hand. So I'm trying to describe this so the people that are listening to this on the podcast have a clue what I'm saying. But if you know when you go to a massage and the massage therapist starts doing this kind of like chopping motion that everyone really knows is when they're doing a massage and like these comedies, everyone starts slapping the back like chopping. That technique actually does exist, and that kind of percussion feeling is actually supposed to be very good. So it does feel very good. I've used these again, just like the vibrating roller. We had one of these when I was with the Ice Caps, and it was a very good tool. It was very steep in price. It was a little bit pricier than the vibrating foam roller, but guys loved it. Now, I do know that since they originally came out, I think the first company to really make either come out with this or make it popular was Theragun. Over time, there have been a couple of companies that have kind of created their own version of it. And it's honestly like all it really is it's basically just I think there is a company that actually has the head pieces that you can use. So you can go to the store, you can go to Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever, and you can essentially just buy a jigsaw, and it doesn't even have to be wireless, it can be wired, and you can just pop the head off the blade. You can take the blade right off, put this attachment on, and you can use that, because essentially that's all it really is. And it's just that repetitive kind of contact with your body that helps release that muscle. So far, I've heard great things about them. A lot of people have used them. A lot of athletes have used them, and a lot of them swear by it. A lot of the guys that we had really loved it. They would swear by it. They'd use it every single day. And you know what? Honestly, it is a very steep price tag to be paying for a recovery tool. But again, you guys know me by now. If you've listened to anything that I've said, if you've watched anything that I've done, recovery for me is a big, big, big component of the workouts and my workouts with my guys. I'm always talking about, you know, make sure that when you're in season, you're working aggressively on your recovery, because that's one of the only tools that you have at your disposal that you can directly control. So I would highly recommend both of them. If you have the price, if you can pay for it, go for it. If you can't, foam rollers are obviously going to be able to do a similar, have a similar effect, but the percussion one, the Theragun basically, or I shouldn't have said that, but the percussion tool is a very interesting thing to be using, and it is steep, but I think the prices are starting to come down now that there's more options available to kind of replace that high end, that $400 to $500 tool that when it first came out. The next thing I want to talk about is it's not really a tracker. It's not really, you're not going to be able to use it more than once, but basically it's a way to kind of gauge what you should be doing as a workout and what you should be doing in terms of food. So there's a test out there that you can do where you basically, like, you're doing a DNA test for your ancestry. What you do is you would do, you would spit into a vial, basically you ship it off to a company and they will tell you what kind of foods and how you should be training. I honestly, to be honest with you, I've never read a research paper that really supports this claim. It could be very useful. I'm not gonna say it isn't. I know in the past 5 to 10 years, a lot of individuals have been talking about, you know, breaking something down and breaking the type of workout you should be doing based on your DNA, and them saying that that's the reason why some people do a workout better than others. You know, I kind of agree with that, because there is probably some kind of benefit to, you know, if someone is more of an endurance athlete, train them like an endurance athlete. If someone's a more power athlete, you know, you should be playing more power sports or training like a power athlete. So I can see where this can kind of fit in. Although, when they're telling me that they're going to basically make the workout plan for me, I find it very hard to believe that you should be paying all that kind of money to get one of 3 to 4 different types of programs where you can literally just do those 4 within a year and see which one you notice the best results with, and then stick to that kind of plan. So if you're going to go power, try a power program, see if that works. If it does, hey, you're a power athlete. So I'm not really sure to what extent or what kind of parameters they're using and what kind of, results, where they're reading the results. I wouldn't buy into that all that much, especially not now, because I think that you could easily go into a gym if you're got the right technique, if you're doing the right things. You could easily pull off some great results without really needing to spit into a bottle and send it off to a company so they could tell you what kind of foods and what kind of stuff you should be doing in the gym. It could be good. It could be useful. I'm not 100% certain, but I find it very hard to believe that you would need to do that. And the price tags are still pretty steep for something like that. Now, the next tool I'm going to talk about is something you might be seeing. It might be a little bit more popular because you might have seen it, might have kind of been like, what is that exactly? Why is he wearing that, or why is she wearing that? These things are called altitude masks or altitude training masks, which are basically designed to reduce the amount of oxygen that's coming in. Now, I've done the research on it, and the 3 to 4 research papers that I've read all say the same thing. It's not going to replace altitude training. Now, if you don't understand, if you didn't know that, or some of you may not have known, but if you train at a higher altitude, or if you basically have never trained in a high altitude situation and then go to a high altitude, area to train or area to perform, you will be significantly at a disadvantage, because that change in altitude will change the pressure of the air and will change the way your body reacts on a physiological level because of that altitude and because of that change in pressure. So that's the reason why when a lot of teams will go and play in Denver, It's a little bit more, more difficult for you to play in Denver because of the higher altitude, and which is why when so many teams are going to Mexico City, which is at an even higher altitude, they were struggling even more to adapt to that high altitude and be able to perform at the level that they are used to performing. So a lot of individuals thought that maybe putting on one of these masks would have that kind of benefit. No, it will not give you the same benefit. You can't train at higher altitudes without being in a higher altitude. You can't wear the mask and expect to get there. So based on what I've read, that is essentially the consensus. Now, these masks will provide a more of a cardiovascular stressor for you. So it'll be a little bit harder for you to pull in oxygen. It'll require you to work a little bit harder to get the same amount of air in and be able to function that way. So you get a little, it's more of a cardiovascular workout than it is anything else. So for someone who's beginning in the gym, highly do not recommend it. The last thing you want to be doing is going on the jumping on a treadmill, going a little harder in the workout, and you've got limited oxygen. Your body starts freaking out because it can't get anything in, and it's exhausted. So you start kind of getting dizzy and the passing on the treadmill, falling, and then now you're out for a couple of weeks with a potential concussion or whatever, or something broke, or you know, anything could happen. So highly don't recommend it if you're an avid gym junkie and you really love working out and you've been doing it for years, you want to give it a shot, sure, but proceed with caution because you are limiting the amount of oxygen that it is coming into your body. So you don't want to overdo it, especially not at the beginning. So I think the thing I want to leave you all off with now that we've kind of completed this two-part series is I think one of the things that is really interesting to note is that probably about 15 to 20 years ago, the grand majority of these tools were non-existent. The type of fitness tools that we were getting were basically tools that we would use on the gym floor, like we would use a different type of elastic, whether we use a different type of bar, tool. That was more what we were dealing with about 20 years ago. Now we've almost like exhausted those options and we started to really kind of run out of options. And now we've started to head into more of the tech side of things because there is so much more of a tech growth in our society. So these tools are going to be constantly coming out. What I would tell you is don't jump on the bandwagon and believe everything they're telling you. Some of their claims are based off of an almost like a tweak or an interpretation of the research. So research says this, hey, maybe we can apply it to a tech solution and basically give you an answer and give you a different type of, fitness advantage or athletic advantage. So maybe you don't want to jump onto everything you read, although there are a lot of devices that do exist out there that are very helpful, which is why on the first segment, I did talk about a lot of the tracking tools. Some of them are really good, others not so great. Same thing with the things you can use that are more tech and gadgety on the practical side. Yes, some of them are good, still come with a steep price. Some of them not very good. Some of them are basically useless. So I would highly recommend that you proceed with caution and remember that the majority of your results will be coming from your effort in the weight room, not from these tools. These tools will help you. They will help you perform better. They will be beneficial for your training. They will be beneficial for your performance, but they are not the end all be all, and you can get away without them. All right, guys, if you have any questions on anything I discussed over the last two episodes, feel free to contact me and ask away. I'd love to be able to maybe discuss some questions on even some other gadgets that you may have tried or maybe heard of or wanted to use. Maybe we can do another segment on this before 2019, because I think a lot of individuals are running out to try to pick up some tech gadgets, especially over the last week where we had some deals and potentially leading into Boxing Day, where we will be walking into other deals. For those Americans who are listening out there, Boxing Day is the 26th of December, so it's the day after Christmas. We don't have Black Friday. We do now, but we don't really have it. It's not exactly a holiday for us. It's not exactly like a very popular day. We just started to adopt it because they want us to stop going across the border and buying things at a major discount. So with that being said, if you guys, again, have any questions, feel free to let me know. click that subscribe button. I think it's down on, no, it's down, oh, it's one on these. Just click that subscribe button. Leave a little comment. Give me a thumbs up. Let me know what you guys think. And until that next time, guys, keep building that foundation. For more fitness tips, tricks, and ideas, follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Babak Owen. That's B-A-B-A-K-O-W-E-N. Music for the Foundation First Fitness Show provided by Beware of Darkness. You can find them on Spotify and iTunes.